Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah is daf Hey One Dalam and Beis. We thank the Lupinov Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Ben Lezeich and Ishmael Slav Lupin Zaltzman. Today's daf, as was yesterday's daf, is dedicated to the topic of Baal Te'acher. How do we get onto the topic of Baal Te'acher? I guess we could first ask the question: what is Baal Te'acher? So all that's going to be explained over the course of the next 50 minutes. The Mishnah taught us that there are four Rosh Hashanahs in the year. Four times in the year, where it's the beginning of the year, where it's the first of the year. So, respective to various halachas in the year. So, it's the first. So, we are discussing now the first day of Nisan. The first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah. What is the Rosh Hashanah for? So the Mishnah tells us it's the Rosh Hashanah for two things. It's the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim, and it's the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. Now, it's the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim, it's the Rosh Hashanah for kings. So what does that mean? So that was the first 2.5 dapim of the Masechta. So that means that when we date our documents, and we're dating our documents by the king, so we're going to say in the third year of the king, well, when does the third year of the king begin? So that's the answer is the first day of Nisan. First day of Nisan now is the next year of his kingship. We discussed that even if he's the king coronated on the 30th day of Adar, 29th day of Adar, and he's only been king for a day is a year. So that was his first year of his reign. Okay, not that bad. How many things can go wrong in one day? But now the next year comes along and he's in year two. Okay, so that's one A. And now what we started the discussion yesterday, and that started on the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph, and continues through Dalet Amud Beis, which we did yesterday, and will continue through the entirety of Daf Hey, and will also continue a little bit into Daf Vav as well. Is 1B. In other words, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah for Yantav. What is it? For Regalim. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, in respect to the prohibition of Baal Te'acher. Baal Te'acher is the following. Torah says that you make a neder, you make a pledge. I'm going to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash. There are various ways when you could do that. There are various different types of carbonates you could do that. In the second half of today's daf, we're going to speak about Baal Te'acher as it relates to almost every carbon. I'd say every carbon, right? We'll talk about that in the second half of today's daf. So I say I want to bring a shlamin, and I make a neder, and I pledge to do so. And a neder means that I have a personal liability. We'll talk more about that later today. So good. So now I'm on the hook. So now the Torah says, don't delay, right? In bringing it. So what does that mean? Don't delay. What exactly? When's the deadline? So as we saw, well, before we get to the Gemara. So the Torah says that if you violate the deadline, if you go beyond the deadline, so you're violating a negative prohibition of the Torah. One of the 365 negative prohibitions of the Torah is don't delay your karbanos. Okay, when exactly is the deadline? So that's not clear. The Gemara brought in two brises. We saw both brises yesterday. One brise is on the bottom of Dal Amud Aleph, and the second brise begins on the bottom of Dal Amud Aleph and goes all the way into Dal Amud Beis. And there are no less than five opinions on this matter in terms of when exactly you're violating the deadline. We're going to review all five opinions. We need to go over all five opinions again just to get back into today's daf. But just to say it simply, our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, when are you violating this prohibition in the Torah of Baal Te'acher? When you pass three yantivs in a row. What does that mean, three yantivs in a row? Pesach is yantiv number one. That's what our Mishnah means when our Mishnah says that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, meaning that in the month of Nisan, you have now Yontif number one. That, of course, means Shavuos is Yontif number two, and Sukkos will be Yontif number three. And so, therefore, if I made my neder before Pesach, before the Yontif of Pesach, so now, in just about 6 months, 7 months later, I'll be in violation. If I let Sukkos go by, I'll be in violation of Baal Te'acher. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon also says, let's say I made the neder right before Sukkos. Now I got more of a cushion. Because even though Sukkos comes and goes, that doesn't count. We haven't hit Baal Te'acher yet. Until I go to Pesach, then Shavuos, and then Sukkos again. Let's say I made the neder before Shavuos. So now you really have a lot of room. Because now you need Shavuos and Sukkos to go by. Now you need Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos to go by again. Then and only then are you in violation of Baal Te'acher. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara notes that our Mishnah follows the position of Rabbi Shimon. There are, not just Rabbi Shimon's opinion, there are four other opinions on this matter. Let's quickly review. What are the four other opinions? So if you look at the top of Dalet Amud Beis, I'm not reading the Gemara, we're just going to review. So if you look at the top of Dalet Amud Beis, so first of all, there's the opinion of the Tanakama. Tanakama is of the opinion three regalim. Okay? No name to attach to it, just simply the Tanakama. Three yantavs. Any three yantavs, no specific order. So if I made the neder now, today is the 28th day of the Omer, so if I made the neder now, so in 3 weeks' time, when we hit Shavuos, so, by the way, Shavuos in 3 weeks. So that'll be yantav number one, and then Sukkos will be yantav number two, and Pesach will be yantav number three. Okay, and then you'll be in violation of Balti Acher. And, by the way, you'll see this later in today's daf. You have to pass the entire Yontif. Meaning, it's not the first day of Pesach. You have to go through the entirety of Yontif, and then after Yontif is over, then you're in violation of Balti Acher. So that's the opinion of the Tanakama. Then Rabbi Shimon, as we already went over, it has to be three Yontifs in a row, starting with Pesach. Then, Rabbi Meir's opinion is one Yontif. All you need to do is cross the threshold of one yantiv, and then you're in violation of Balti Acher. That is opinion number three. Then there's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, which is two yantivs. Once you go by two yantivs, so then you're in violation of Balti Acher. And finally, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, says that Schaga Sukkos. Sukkos is a backbreaker, meaning regardless or irrespective of when you make the neder. Once Sukkos comes and goes, and you didn't fulfill your pledge, you're in violation of Balti Acher. Okay, so five opinions in terms of when one is violating the prohibition of Balti Acher: Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, who do we follow like? So I'll get to that later this morning. Okay, and then what have we been discussing up until this point in time? Where does each position come from? Meaning, obviously, each position is rooted in a drash, in some drash of the pasuk. So, where exactly does it come from? So, that's been the topic of our discussion. So, right now in the Gemara, we're found on Dalet Amud Beis, and so we'll start right in the middle of the Amud. Rav Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, my time. Okay, I think we did this yesterday, but let's start from this point in time. So what's the position? What's the basis for Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon? How come, according to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, one violates the prohibition of Balti Acher when it comes to Chagas Sukkos and only Chagas Sukkos? So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, my time in Detanya. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, Amar Lo Yomer Chagas Sukkos Shabbat Dibra Kasuv. No, I think this is exactly where we got to yesterday. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, Amar Lo Yomer Chagas Sukkos Shabbat Dibra Kasuv. So the Gemara points out that if you go to Parshas Re'eh, and you'll see that the Torah speaks about all three yantivs, and then after speaking about all three yantivs, what does it do? It goes back and it goes over Chag HaSukkos. Why mention Chag HaSukkos at all? So Lama Namar, Lama Shezeh Goreim, it comes to tell me that Chag HaSukkos is the Goreim. It's the causative, meaning that once Chag HaSukkos comes and goes, so then and only then you're in violation of Balti Acher. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Hai B'Chag HaMatzah, V'Chag HaShu'ot, V'Chag HaSukkos, Mai Darshu Bei. Now the Gemara is bothered. Now, according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, so what are they going to do with the fact that the Torah equates the three yantifs? Right, and again, in the end of Parshas Re, the Torah goes over the three yantifs. Why is the Torah going over these three yantifs together? So what do they do with that drasha? Mibayle lecha de Rabbi Eliezer, am Rabbi Oshia. So the Gemara says they use it for another halacha. What's the other halacha they use it for? They need it for the am Rabbi Lazar, am Rabbi Oshia. Minan latzer sheish la tashlamim kol shiva. How do I know that Shavuos has tashlamim? Okay, so first of all, let's explain a little bit better. What do we mean when we say tashlamim? We know that every time yantif comes around, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, we had to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's number one. We had a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Number two, when we're in the Beis HaMikdash, so we have to bring karbanos. Which karbanos do we need to bring? So an entire mesechta dedicated to that topic. We're going to get to that mesechta in a short couple months from now. It's mesechta Chagiga. So but in a nutshell, al regel achas, so you have to, no pun intended. So what do you have to bring? So you have to bring a olas re'iyah, karbanola, Shalmei Chagiga, okay, we'll call that a carbon Chagiga, and also Shalmei Simcha as well, which could, truth in the matter is, you could double dip for the Shalmei Simcha. But anyway, you have to bring carbonos. Okay, when you have to bring carbonos? Day one. Meaning day one rolls around, you have to bring the carbon. What if you didn't bring it on day one? So you have Tashlumim, you have makeup days. So on Pesach, how many makeup days do you have? 7. Meaning all 7 days of Pesach, you could bring these karbanos. The mitzvah be karbanos to bring it on day one, but if you don't bring it on day one, you have the next 6 days to bring it. What about on Sukkos? How many makeup days do you have on Sukkos? 8 days on Sukkos. Even Shmini Atzeres could serve as a makeup day. Shmini Atzeres is regal b'fnei atzmo. In some respects, it's its own independent yontif. But vis-a-vis the halachas of Tashlumim, you still have a chance to make up on day 8. And finally, what about Shavuos? That's the topic of discussion right now. See, Shavuos is interesting because Shavuos is only a 1 day yontif, right? Observed here in the diaspora for 2 days, but it's a 1 day yontif. So, being that it's a 1 day yontif, so if I don't bring my chagig and my olas riyah on the yontif of Shavuos, now what? So, what we're learning now is that there's still tashlumim, there's still makeup. And how many days of makeup are there? 7 days in total. Like Pesach. So the Gemara says, Minayin la'atzer sheyesh la'tashlumim kol sheva, tamalam b'chag ha'matzos v'chag ha'shavuos v'chag ha'sukkos, mekesh chag ha'shavuos v'chag ha'matzos. The hekesh. In one pasuk we have the yontif of Shavuos and the yontif of Pesach. Ma chag ha'matzos yesh la'tashlumim kol sheva, chag ha'shavuos yesh la'tashlumim kol sheva. So the Gemara says, just like Pesach, you have 7 days to make up your karbanos, so too on Shavuos, you have 7 days to make it up. Even though the days after Shavuos are not yontif, it's a regular day. But yes, it's a regular day, but they also make up days. Which, by the way, the minhag is after Shavuos, we don't say tachanun, right? For a week after Shavuos. So this is the reason why. Because those days after Shavuos, they're not yontif. It's not yontif, it's not Isra Chag. The day after, maybe we can call that Isra Chag. But they are Yemei Tashlumim. They are days that, if in the event that we didn't bring a carbon on Shavuos itself, you could bring afterwards. Okay. The Gemara asks a really simple question. And I'm sorry. And that's why the Torah in Parshas Re'eh reviews all three regalim to teach us this halacha. So now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Okay, now there are three yontifs that are mentioned. Shavuos, Pesach, Sukkos. Pesach has 7 days of Tashlumim, right? The first day and the next 6 days. Sukkos has 8 days of Tashlumim. So now Shavuos, we're going to learn this halacha of Tashlumim. But the truth of the matter is that we have two options. It could either be 7, like Pesach, or it can be 8, like Sukkos. Why opt with 7? Why not go to 8? The Gemara asks this question. The Gemara is asking exactly that question. Shmini regal bifnei atzmahu. So the Gemara attempts to give an answer. Oh, Sukkos, the 8th day of Sukkos? That's not Sukkos. Regal bifnei atzmo. That's its own independent yontif. And so therefore, we don't count that. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Eimer damer shmini regal bifnei atzmo, alinyan pazar kashav. Yes, Shmini Atzeres is its own independent day, but not a totally independent day. Relative to 6 particular halachas, it has an independent status. But still, think about what we call it. What we call it gives it away. It's Shmini. It's the 8th day. It's really still part of Sukkos. Again, we don't do the mitzvah of Sukkah. We don't do the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. Granted. And we'll call it a different name. But fundamentally, it's still part of Sukkos. So the truth of the matter is that Shmini Atzeres was really part of Sukkos. And only relative to 6 particular halachas does it have an independent nature. But fundamentally, it's not independent. Give me one moment. Avalein Tashlumim Devrakol Tashlumim Derishon Hu. But in terms of Tashlumim, we know that if you made it to the 8th day of Sukkos and you still haven't brought your Shami Chagiga, your Olas Re'iyah, if you haven't brought all that, on the 8th day of Sukkos, what we call Shmini Atzeres, you could still bring it. It's still acceptable to bring. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Mishlo Chag Yom Tov Rishon Shochag, Chore Kol HaRegel V'Yom Tov Acheron Shochag. If you didn't bring your Karban Chagiga on day 1, you have through the 7 days of Sukkos, and you even have the 8th day as well. So the 8th day serves as a Tashlumim for day 1. So now back to the question. So in other words, we're just resetting the question. The question is, I have 2 yontifs to compare that I can compare Shavuos to. I can either compare it to the yontif of Pesach, which is 7 days, or the yontif of Sukkos, which is 8 days. And now I know we're going to have Tashlumim for Shavuos. But why go with 7? Why not go with 8? The Gemara is going to answer, Tafasta Meruba lo Tafasta, Tafasta Mu'a Tafasta. So the Gemara's answer is, because we have a general rule, that if I have a choice, if I could choose smaller or larger, you choose small, you don't choose large. The expression which we saw in Sukkot already a couple of times is that Tafasta Meruba lo Tafasta. When I take too much in my hands, so I end up taking nothing. When I take a little bit, so I can handle it. So over here, if I have a choice of 7 versus 8, go with the smaller number. Now, generally speaking, by the way, and Tosfos here points that out, when we use the concept of tafasta merubad lo tafasta, it generally means, here are my options. My options are, the Torah says plural. So my options are, plural can either mean 2, or plural can mean anything above the number 2, which is an infinite amount. So what do I do? Go with the number 2. Because after the number 2, what are my options? Infinity. The options are infinite. So given the choice of either a number, an actual number, a real number, or an infinite number of possibilities, I'm going to go with a real number. That's usually where we use the concept of tafasta, meruba lo tafasta. Here, there actually are two numbers, two whole numbers, the number 7 and the number 8. But still, the Gemara employs the principle of tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Go with 7 over the number 8. It's a more manageable number. It's a smaller number, and we're more confident that that 7 is the correct one. Okay, I steamrolled right through the Gemara. The Gemara says that in regards to 6 halachas, Shmini Atzeres is its own separate yantav. But the truth of the matter is that vis-a-vis Tashlumim, Shmini Atzeres is really part of Sukkos. Let's just do this quickly, but it's always important to review. What are the 6 halachas where Shmini Atzeres has its own identity? So the Gemara says Pazar Kashav. Pazar Kashav is an acronym. It just helps us remember what is Pazar Kashav. So let's go through Rashi. The Gemara doesn't even spell it out. The Gemara just, because from the Gemara's perspective, it was a tangential point. But let's just go through it quickly. Rashi goes through each one of them. Pei. What's Pei? Rashi says pious. It's talking about the lottery. You remember this was at the tail end of Masechta Sukkah, where we did this, where there was a lottery that was established in order to determine. Remember on Sukkot, all 24 Mishmaros come and do the Avodah during Sukkot. And for the 7 days, there's a lot of computation, there's a lot of accounting, because the number of bulls that are offered on the first 7 days of Sukkot fluctuate, starting at 13, working its way down to 7 for the 7 days of Sukkot. And then when you get to Shmini Atzeres, so the karbanos are reset. And what's the pay? Pious. In terms of the lottery, Rashi writes, Lepar haba bishmini veino krav lefi seder mishmaros, sheshanu v'sheshinu u'shilshu bepari achag, chutz mishtayim sheshanu v'lo shilshu. Do you remember that entire discussion? Where? Of the 24 mishmaros, most of them, 22 of the 24 mishmaros, got to offer pari achag on 3 occasions. 2 of them, by luck of the draw, or in their case, by unluck of the draw, only offer the parachag twice. But once you get to Shmini Atzeres, reset. So upartial Shmini ain achas meos and shtayim makrivisam el kol mishmaros mefisim. I'm sorry, mefisim. So, but what happens on Shmini Atzeres is new lottery. You only got twice; they got 3 times. I'm sorry, but everyone's back in the lottery anew. Okay, that is the pay. Zion, Reish, Zman, Regal, La'atzmo she'ein shem chag Sukkos alav. So, we don't call it Sukkos. We call it an independent name. What exactly do we call it? So, various neschaos. Well, what do we say? Shmini chag atzeres hazeh. That's what the Ashkenazim say. The karban, La'atzmo, now we're up to the kuf. It's a karban, she'in karbano kishar yimei achag, I'm reading Rashi, she'apar mismatim bahem echad echa, v'ze'eno, ela par echad, v'shar yimeim shnei elim, v'arba asar kvasim, v'ze'ayol echad, v'zayin kvasim. So in other words, the karban changes. In terms of the bulls, so again, as I mentioned, from days 1 through 7 of Sukkot, it starts at 13 bulls and it works its way down, gradually decreasing by every day by 1 bull. So by the 7th day, you're up to 7 bulls. But when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, 1 bull. In terms of rams, for the first 7 days of Sukkot, 2 rams. The last day of Sukkot, 1 ram. I know I'm going quickly. And as far as sheep is concerned, for the 7 days of Sukkot, it's 14 sheep. On the 1 day of Shmini Atzeres, it's 7 sheep. Okay? That is the pay. That's the kuf. Now we're up to the shin. Shir la'atmo. Ain shiro shavu l'shel sukkos. Sha'omer ala duchem v'lo nispar shlana shiro. Rashi says over here, do you remember Rashi said it back in Masechta Sukkah as well? What was the shir that they sang on Shmini Atzeres? So Rashi says, I don't know because it's not mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says it has its own independent shir, but Rashi makes an admission, I don't know. Rashi likes saying, I don't know. Right? He says, it's get used to it. It happens. Over Masechet Sofrim, Nimsa Shirohu, La Masech Al Hashminis. And then he quotes a Masechet Sofrim, but in the Gemara, in the Bavli itself, it's not mentioned. And then finally, the Beis, which is Bracha L'atzma, Mevarchin, Hayu Es HaMelech Zech L'Chanukas HaBayis. Shenem Rabbi Yom HaShmi Shalachatam, V'Yivarchu Es HaMelech Kach Mefurs B'Tosefta D'Sukkah. In terms of what the Bracha is, when it's a Bracha L'atzma, they would bless the king. That would occur on Shmini Atzeres, which they would not do during the first days of Sukkot. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so vis-a-vis those six halachas, Shmini Atzeres is its own independent day. But fundamentally, it's still part of Sukkot, and if you didn't bring your Chagiga on day one, you have the entirety of Sukkot, and you also have Shmini Atzeres as well.
Rabbi,
yes, sir.
Do we say the concept of Tashlim by Shmini Atzeres?
There's no carbon. Shmini Atzeres is still part of Sukkot vis-a-vis the carbon. Your carbon chagiga requirement is for Sukkot. Shmini Atzeres is an attachment to Sukkot. And it still serves as a makeup day in the event that you didn't bring it on Sukkot. Okay. Ella lamai hilchasa kasra rechman l'chag ha-sukkos. So now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Good. So we have now in Parshas Re'eh a repetition of the Gimel Regalim. And the Torah says, what are the Gimel Regalim? As if we didn't know at this point in time, they are Chag HaSukkos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaMatzos. Okay, so why go over them again? So the Gemara says, well, I need Shavuos and Pesach, right, Chag HaMatzos, I need that because teach me the Halacha of Tashlumim. Great. But then, what's Sukkos doing there? Meaning, Sukkos is not teaching us anything. That's the Gemara's next question. El lamai hilchas akasra yachman l'chag ha-sukkos, l'akush l'chag ha-matzos, ma chag ha-matzos taon lina, av chag ha-sukkos taon lina. So to teach me the halacha of lina, what is the halacha of lina? Don't be confused. We speak lina usually as it pertains to the carbon itself. That the carbon itself, if the shecht of the carbon, but I didn't offer the dam and the chelev on the mizbeach, so they become disqualified as a result of the psul, the disqualification of lina. That's not what we're talking about over here. Lina means to stay the night. After you bring the carbon chagiga. So what did you do? Sounds like you did everything. You mean you got to Yerushalayim, you showed your face in the Beis HaMikdash, so you fulfilled the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. You offered your carbon chagiga on day one like you're supposed to. And your Olas Riyah and your Shami Simcha. And now, so Motzei Yantav, what can you do? So go home. So no, there's a mitzvah of lina. The mitzvah of lina says you got to stay the night. You got to stay in Motzei Yontov in Yerushalayim, and then the next day go home. That is the mitzvah of lina. So why does the Torah tell me about Sukkos and Pesach in the end of Parshas Re'eh? To tell me that just like by Pesach there's a mitzvah of lina, so too by Sukkot there's a mitzvah of lina as well. And as far as Pesach is concerned, the Torah says you wake up in the morning and then you go home. But the morning over here does not refer to the morning of Yontif itself. It's referring to the next morning. Okay, the Gemara elsewhere makes that point clear. But okay, anyway, so that's why Sukkot is mentioned over there, to teach us that Sukkot also there's a mitzvah of lina. Okay. Vitanakama Virabi Shimon Tashlam Latzeres Min Alahu. Now the Gemara says, great. Now remember, it's like we said in the beginning of today's shiur, there are five different opinions in terms of when one violates the prohibition of Balti Acher. The first two opinions that we exposed ourselves to was the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. According to them, when do you violate Balti Acher? When you cross over three yontifs. And the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon is, according to the Tanakama, any three yontifs. According to Rabbi Shimon, three yontifs in a row. How do they know that? Because the Torah in Parshas Re'eh tells us that it reviews for us the three yontifs. Okay, great. Now that's very good. Now all these halachas that we just learned, the halacha of lina, the halacha of tashlumim for Shavuos, where are they going to generate this halacha from? They can't generate it from the psukim and re'e, because the psukim and re'e are used for them for the halacha, for the isser of Baal Te'achir. So where are they going to generate this halacha of tashlumim from? That's the Gemara's next question. How do they know that there's a halacha of tashlumim? Nafkalu miditani rabba bar Shmuel. So they're going to learn it from another drasha, from another brisa, the teaching of Rabba bar Shmuel. Ditni rabba bar Shmuel, amar Torah, mane yamim v'kidesh chodesh. Mane yamim v'kidesh atzeres. So look, let's take a look at what the structure is. I count towards a particular day. We're going to talk about two different days that we count towards. One of them is Rosh Chodesh. It's interesting. We usually don't count to Rosh Chodesh. But if you think about it, every month we're really counting to Rosh Chodesh. Right? Today is the... What is today? 13th. Okay. Good. So today is the 13th day of Iyar. So now we're counting towards Rosh Chodesh. We know that when we get to either day 30 or day 31 of the month... Okay. Granted, we don't know exactly know when. I mean, we know where our calendar is fixed. Okay, but when the calendar wasn't fixed. So we didn't exactly know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, but here we are, we're counting. And then what are we going to do? We're Mikdash. We sanctify Rosh Chodesh. How long is Rosh Chodesh going to be? Rosh Chodesh is one day. Now, what the point the Gemara is making is as follows. The unit that I use for counting is what unit? Days. So when I finally get to Rosh Chodesh, how long is Rosh Chodesh going to be? That unit, one day. So the same thing is going to be true regarding Shavuos. When it comes to Shavuos, so how do I count? What unit of measurement do I count to get to Shavuos? I count weeks. Okay, perfect. But wait on that point. Okay, sit on that fastball. So when I how do I get to Shavuos? I count weeks. So when I get to Shavuos, how long is Shavuos going to be? A week. Now I understand that that's confusing because Shavuos is not a week. Shavuos is only but one day. True. But in terms of Tashlumim, we're going to look at Shavuos as a one-week event. So Ma Chodesh Limnuyav, Afatzeref Limnuyav. So just like when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, the unit of measurement that I count is a day. Therefore, when I get to Rosh Chodesh, I mekadesh it as one day. Meaning, as Rashi explains, the carbon that I bring on Rosh Chodesh. And on Rosh Chodesh, we bring special carbonos, right? You hear it every Rosh Chodesh. That's the laning, Parshas Pinchas. So just like on Rosh Chodesh, I bring carbonos for Rosh Chodesh. It's a one-day event. So for Shavuos, it could be 7 days. Because the method, the unit of counting that I use, is going to be the method of weeks. So, Ema Atzeres Chad Yuma. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. How do I know that Shavuos is 1 week? Maybe Shavuos is only one day, even as it pertains to Tashlumim. So the Gemara says, and what's behind this question? We know what's behind this question. All right, Danny whispered it just a moment ago. What's behind this question is that when we count to Shavuos, we're counting weeks, but we're also counting days. We do both. So the Gemara is saying now, so how, what kind of argument is this when the unit of counting Torah Shavuos is days? So Amar Rava, Atu Atzeres Yom Maninan Shavu Lo Maninan, V'Amar Mar Mitzvah Limimne Yumei, U'Mitzvah Limimne Shavua. So Rava, the Gemara says, well, it's not one to the exclusion of the other. Truth of the matter is that we do both. Rava says in Menachos, that when it comes to counting to Shavuos, we do both. We count days and we count weeks. And oh, by the way, the Torah tells us to count both. Meaning, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi quotes the Psukim. In terms of weeks, the Torah tells us, Parshas Amor, we just landed a couple weeks ago, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena. The Torah says that how do you get to Shavuos? You count 7 weeks. We also have a pasuk that describes the counting of days. Rashi quotes that as well. Tisperu chamishim yom. You count 50 days. Which, by the way, you realize that's strange. We don't count 50 days, but we count 49 days. But, okay, be that as it may. But the Torah says that we're counting weeks and we're counting days. So the truth of the matter is that when we get to Shavuos, we're actually counting 2 units of measurement. We're counting by day and we're counting by week. So now what the Gemara is pointing out is that the unit of measurement for Shavuos is weeks. And therefore, when you get to Shavuos, so you can view it as a week event. Again, we know the Yontif is one day. The Torah tells us the Yontif is one day. But vis-a-vis, how long do I have to bring my Karban Chagiga? I have Shavuos and the next 6 days. I have the entirety of that week to bring my Karban Chagiga because the unit of measurement that I use is going to be a week. And then the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, va'od, and also, let's consider the following. Chag Shavuos Ksiv. What's the name of the Yontif? The name of the actual Yontif is Chag Shavuos. Chag Shavuos, it's the festival of weeks. That's the name of the Yontif. And why is the Gemara making that additional point? So the Rishonim point out, this is not Rashi. The Rishonim point out, the reason why the Gemara makes that additional point is because think about what just happened. The Gemara says that when we count to Shavuos, there are two countings. There's a count by day and there's a count by week. So now, given that those are my choices, which one should we have gone with? Meaning, we have now a choice. Either I go the day count or I'll go the week count. Which one should I choose? The day or the week? Which is a smaller unit of measurement? The day. What did we just learn in the Gemara? Tafasta maruba lo tafasta. Tafasta mua tafasta. Meaning we know that if you have a choice of what is going to be your unit of measurement, always go with the smaller unit, not the larger unit. So what the Gemara now is pointing out, all this is not in the Gemara. This is reading in between the lines. What the Gemara is pointing out is that given the choice, I might have said, no, the day is more compelling. So then the Gemara says, va'od, and furthermore, chag shavuos ksiv, the real nature of the day, but the day is described fundamentally as a festival of weeks. So in vis-a-vis how long shavuos is, so again, in practice it's one day, but at least conceptually it's a week long. So that means that if you didn't bring the chagig on day one, so you have tashlumen for the rest of it to bring.
7 is still less than 49 days.
But if you're looking at the unit of measurement, a day is obviously shorter than a week. Okay, I'll share with this with you quickly. Adkan, that brings us to the end of that point of the Gemara, and we are done. Meaning we're not done, but in other words, we're done with this section of the Gemara. The Gemara has told us that there are 5 different opinions in terms of when one violates Baal Teh Acher, and then from that point until where we got to in Daf Hamad Aleph, right until this point in time. So the Gemara just basically did its usual accounting. Where does he learn it from? Where does he learn it from? Where does he generate that halacha from? Where does he generate that halacha from? And the Gemara now basically gave us all 5 opinions and the sources for all 5 opinions. And the last thing the Gemara just went over with us is that there's a halacha of tashlumen when it comes to Shavuos based on the fact that when we count to Shavuos, we count weeks and we also count days. But we count weeks. And so therefore, the unit of measurement for Shavuos is a week. Therefore, Shavuos is conceptually a week. The Yontif itself is a day, but you have 6 days to, if you didn't bring your carbon on the first day, you have 6 days afterwards to make it up. Give me a moment. We're coming back. It's okay. So the rest of today's daf. The mitzvah of counting. We're in the middle of Sfira. We just finished counting 4 weeks. The mitzvah of Sfira and counting towards Sfira, is that one mitzvah or is it 2 separate mitzvahs? So this is a major discussion. Now look at the Gemara that we just read. The Gemara that we just read is that there's a mitzvah to count days and there's a mitzvah to count weeks. And as Rashi pointed out, you open up a chumash, you read the pesukim inside, the Torah actually instructs us to do both. The Torah instructs us to count weeks and the Torah instructs us to count days. So is it one mitzvah or is it 2 mitzvahs? So the Rambam's position is very clear. The Rambam says it's one mitzvah. Meaning there are 2 aspects to one mitzvah. We have this often. The Dal Aminim is just as a perfect illustration, a perfect example. There are 4 different species that you have to have, but obviously you put them all together and you get one mitzvah. So to when you're counting, there are 2 aspects to the mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to count weeks and there's a mitzvah to count days, but it's not 2 different mitzvahs, it's 1 mitzvah. Part of the evidence that the Rambam brings to make this point clear is think about it. When we make a bracha, how many brachas do we make when counting? We make 1 bracha. So we make 1 bracha, so that's an indication that it's 1 mitzvah, not 2 mitzvahs. It's interesting. This sefer is excellent. If you've never heard of it, it's called Hegyonei Halacha. It's written by Rabbi Mirsky, relatively recent. So, but in it, he does pieces on every yontif. And in it, so he brings down the opinion of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham is a Rishon. He's quoting the Beis Yosef all the time. So Rabbeinu Yerucham says, he disagrees with the Rambam. He says that the mitzvah of counting Sfiras HaOmer is not one mitzvah, but there are two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah to count weeks, and another mitzvah to count days. And then he makes another point, which is really interesting. And he says that the mitzvah to count weeks and the mitzvah to count days are not only two separate mitzvahs, but the mitzvah to count weeks, that is a relative to the bringing of the Karban Omer. Meaning, if you look at the Pesukim inside, the Torah pretty much says it. The Torah says, I don't have a Chumash in front of me, please forgive me, but I'm just reading straight out of Rashi. The Torah says, no, I need the Chumash. No, I don't have enough here. Do me a favor, I know this is funny, but he has the entire. It's okay, I have it here. He brings the whole pasuk inside. Not the pasukim from Rashi. Okay, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'll go right here to the Ve'avesim es Omer Reishis Kitzurchem El HaKohen Ve'inif es Omer. So I'm in Parshas Emor, and you bring the carbon Omer, and then Pasuk Tezvav Usfartam Lachem Imachar Sashabas Miyam Aviyachem es Omer Tenufa, and then you count from the time that you bring the carbon Omer Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena. You count 7 weeks. So in other words, the Rabbeinu Yerucham writes that the counting of 7 weeks is a function of the bringing of the Karban Omer. And then, next pasuk, Ad Mimachras HaShabbos Shvi Tispru Chamishim Yom. And then you count 50 days. The 50 days is not connected to the Karban Omer. The 50 days is its own separate mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yerucham says that there are two different mitzvahs in the counting. The mitzvah of counting weeks, that's a Karban Omer counting. The mitzvah of counting days, that's not connected to the Karban Omer. That's just simply 50 days to count from Pesach to Shavuos. Rabbeinu Yerucham then continues to write. All this is written up in the Hegyon HaHalacha. So I'm presenting it nice and organized simply because that's the way he presents it, hopefully. So the Rabbeinu Yerucham then continues to write, okay, what about nowadays that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? So nowadays that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Karban Omer, so what happens? So Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, I'll tell you what happens. The mitzvah to count 50 days, still intact, because that's not connected to the carbon. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa ad hayom hazeh. So when we count days nowadays, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. What happens to the mitzvah of counting weeks? We don't have a carbon omer. We'll still count weeks, but that's no longer a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's now only a mitzvah d'rabanan, since we don't have a carbon omer, so therefore the counting of weeks is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's been downgraded to a mitzvah d'rabanan. Okay. Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, if we would have been Bizman Beis HaMikdash, what we would have done is that we would have made one bracha, we would have counted days, we would have made a second bracha, and then we would have counted weeks. And presumably you would only count weeks at the conclusion of the week, but that's subject to a discussion. I asked Ben earlier this morning to give me a sitter, and the reason why I did so is because, and again, he says this, Rabbi Mirsky says this is not me saying this, that if you look carefully at the Nusach of Sfiras HaOmer, not for us Ashkenazim, leave us out of the discussion, but if you look at the Sfardim, and you look carefully at how they word it, they say, today is, I'll go to today's Sfira, but it would work for any day of the Sfira, it says, Hayom Shmona Ve'esriyom LaOmer, Shehem Arba Shavuos. Now that's not what the Ashkenazim do, but the Sfardim do it. So the Ashkenazim put the word Omer at the end, but what the Sfardim do and the Taimanim do the same thing is they say today is the 20th day of the Omer, and then which happens to be also 4 weeks, and every day of the Omer they do that right for tonight. I could say it because we're in the morning. Hayom Tisha Ve'esrim Yom La Omer Sheim Arba Shavuos VeYom Echad. Right? Why did they put the Omer in the middle? And we Ashkenazim, we don't do that. We put it at the end. But why did the Sfardim put it in the middle? So it could, again, we're not poskening over here, but we're just, conceptually. Because the counting of the days, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So on that, you'll say, today is 28 days in the Omer. Meaning, because now I'm fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa. Which, and then you mention the weeks at the end, but nowadays that we don't have a carbon Omer, so the weeks is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So you leave it at the end, you put it at the end after you mention that it's the Omer.
Right? But the weeks that are related to Omer, it makes more sense to put it after the word weeks.
Yeah, but in other words, according to Rabbeinu, I hear you. I'm just right. It's just a way to view it. But in other words, but the mitzvah of counting days is medaraisa. Correct.
Why would you put it with on the day?
Okay, but in other words, but
it makes more sense.
I understand. But why? Right? Why break it up?
Right.
Okay. Good. So offering
weeks and then
offering an explanation. Again, this is Rabbi Mirsky brings it down. I would assume more like the Rambam, meaning on this issue, meaning it's more of a conceptual discussion than it is a practical discussion. But it works out nicer. The way you count works out nicer if this is the correct way to view it.
But that's not correct.
Yeah, correct. In other words, the Rambam says that the whole thing is d'oraisa, and the whole thing is one mitzvah. So, right, agreed.
It doesn't really, according to Rambam, doesn't matter how you do it.
Right, correct, agreed. It just, again, it's very nice, it's very neat. Let's go on. Okay, it's not yours. All right, it's not mine. We go on in the Gemara. Pesach bar mikra b'regalim hu. Okay, we noted this question already yesterday, but now the Gemara is going to go back and the Gemara is going to articulate this question. Right, you're going to be in violation of Baal Tiachar for every carbon, including carbon Pesach. That doesn't make any sense. Carbon Pesach, you have one opportunity to bring it. It's the 14th day of Nisan. If the 14th day of Nisan comes and goes, that's it. But you're not going to violate Baal Tiachar.
Pesach has a carbon punishment that's very strict more than anything else.
No, but I understand that. But in other words, I pledge to bring carbon Pesach. I dedicate this as a carbon Pesach, and I don't bring it. In other words, let's say you bring another carbon. But in other words, for this carbon, you're not going to violate Baal Te'achar. I'm sorry. The Braisa says you will violate Baal Te'achar. What are you talking about? You're not violating Baal Te'achar. The next opportunity you're going to bring it is going to be next year. And oh, by the way, this animal is going to be too old next year. Meaning, what's the discussion of Baal Te'achar as it pertains to Karm Pesach? So the Gemara is, Pesach Zimna Kviyale. Pesach has a specific time when it needs to be brought. So what's the discussion on Baal Te'achar? So the Gemara says, So either you bring it, or you don't bring it. Those are your two choices. There's no Baal Te'achar. So Am Rav Chista, Pesach Hidei Naspa. So Rav Chista gives an answer, it's a simple answer. I don't know about simple, I'll take that back. But he gives an answer, and Pesach Hidei Naspa. Meaning, you're right, Pesach doesn't really belong in the list, but sometimes it happens. We give a list of karbanos, and we mention a bunch of karbanos, and so therefore we'll mention Karban Pesach, it came along for the ride. But you're right, there is no Baal Te'achar when it comes to the Karban Pesach. But again, it's kavu. I understand that, but it's kavu zman. The Torah tells us when to bring it. So either you bring in that date or you don't bring in that date. There's no, in other words, there's no deadline. There's no gimel regalim. All that discussion becomes totally non applicable to a carbon where the Torah tells you exactly when to bring it.
You have a strict deadline.
Yeah. Okay. Rav Sheshes Amar my Pesach Shamay Pesach. Rav Sheshes gives a different answer. No. When the Braisa mentions Pesach, it actually means carbon Pesach. So ihachi hainu shlamim. Now I'm sorry. Let me. It's and what happened? Rashi explains what happened is that you lost your carbon Pesach, you replaced it with another carbon Pesach, and then you found the original, and now you didn't need both. So now what happens? It became an additional carbon Pesach, which I just didn't need. What happens after Pesach comes and goes? It converts into a shlamim. Your carbon Pesach after Pesach is over turns into a carbon shlamim. So now the Gemara says yachi anu shlamim. So the Gemara says it's a good answer, but you know now what are we talking about? We're talking about a carbon shlamim that's already been addressed in the Braisa. So tana shlamim habayim machmas Pesach v'tana shlamim habayim machmas atzman. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you, it's still important for the Braisa to mention it. Why? So the Gemara says, I might have thought that it comes as a result of the carbon Pesach, and therefore, Pesach Dam, we're on top of Hamad Beis. It's like the carbon Pesach itself, meaning that even though it's a shlamim, but maybe it still has shades of the carbon Pesach. it still has a status of the Karban Pesach. So Kamash Malan, so the Gemara says, no. Once Pesach comes and goes, and once it turns into a Shlamim, it becomes a full-fledged, a regular full-fledged Shlamim, subject to the regular halachas of Baal Te'acher. Okay. Menahani Mili. The Gemara asks a simple question, that there's Baal Te'acher. And there's Baal Te'acher to every Karban that was mentioned on yesterday's daf. Now, can we point out, please, let's, where is the Torah tell us not to delay your pledges? So the Torah mentions it, and I think it's only one pasuk in Parshas Kisetze. Right, Perich of Gimel, pasuk Chavbeis. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting there. Okay, good, good. It's good. It's good to have a ball car right here. Okay. All right, so there we go. Kisidor nedela Hashem lokecha. Okay, this is it. This is the pasuk that tells us not to delay. Kisidor nedela Hashem lokecha. I'm reading the pasuk. Lo seachir l'shamo. Don't delay in paying it. Ki darosh yisheshen Hashem lokecha meimach. Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking for it. Ve'yabecha chet. And if you delay, you have a sin. Okay. V'chisech zal endor lo yabecha chet. Okay. And then the Torah goes on. So it's one pasuk. It's one pasuk in the Torah that tells us about Baal Te'acher. And we just generated a tremendous amount of halacha based on that one pasuk. We talked about Chatas, Asham, Shlamim, Ola, Lekesh, Shichacha, Peya, right? You remember everything we discussed yesterday? Tzedakah. Okay. All that, you're going to be in violation of Baal Te'acher for all that. And the Gemara's question now is really simple. Where does all that come from? Meaning it's one pasuk. And the pasuk only mentions one thing, neder. Right. Not even nedava. Lo right, kisidor neder l'Hashem lokecha. That's it. So it's a straightforward question. So menani mila tana rabbanon. So here now the Gemara quotes a brisa. Kisidor neder ain li ala neder nedava minayin. So the Gemara starts off with a simple point. How do I know about nedava? Okay, good. Meaning, and what's the difference between neder and nedava? I told you we're going to say it later today. Now we get to say it. Neder means that you make a pledge with a personal responsibility. So that if anything happens to the animal, you are personally on the hook. Recourse now goes back to you. You have to now make good on your pledge, even though it might not have even been your fault. Doesn't matter. Nedava, you don't take personal liability. There is no recourse. The animal itself is going to be the carbon. I pledge this animal as a carbon. And then, if something happens to the animal, you're off the hook. So how do I know about nedava? So nemar kan nedav, nemar lahala ni nedar nedava. Ma lahala nedava imo, of kan nedava imo. So the Gemara says, because nedava comes together with neder, we have a pasuk that indicates that. La Hashem elokecha. Now, the Torah goes on to describe, again, back to Parshas Kisetze, back to that one pasuk. So the Torah says, La Hashem lokecha, it goes to God. So Elu, Hadamim, Harachim, Vahacharamim, Vahakdeshos. So that's a reference to anything which is dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A donation of value, a donation of Erech. I told you, pay attention to this week's Parsha, if you want to know about Erechin. A dedication of Chayrim, or a general Hekdesh dedication, where you take an item and you say, this item is for Hekdesh. Lo Se'achir L'Shamo, it cannot be delayed, but it's not a reference to, it's an exchange of it. What does that mean? Stay tuned, the Gemara will discuss that later this morning. Ki daroshi jeshenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding it. Eilu chatas v'ashamos olos u'shlamim. That's a reference to karbanos that you need to bring. Chatas, asham, olan shlamim. Hashem elokecha, eilu tzedakos u'ma'asros. That's a reference to tzedakah and meiser. Tzedakah and meiser is generated from the words Hashem Elokecha. How do we see that? How is that clear? You take a look at Rashi. Rashi points out it's an extra pasuk, and the Torah, right? Rashi writes, "Hakra Yiserehu, Dahavah Lamechtav Ki Daroshi Jeshanu Ukvar." Ukvar Hashem Kasav Lamala B'Mikra Nidrosh Bay Lasui Tzedakos Masros Shekasav Behem Shame Ze. You see that staka is in connection to Shem Hashem. So therefore, we can include in the pasuk Tztaka and Meister. I'm sorry, Tztaka is Meister's u'bechor. Okay, a bit of an issue exactly where Bechor is being generated from, but okay. Me'imach, last word in the Pasuk. Sorry, not the last word in the Pasuk. Zeleke Shechal Peah. The word Me'imach is a connection to the produce in the field that goes to the poor. Rashi points out. Shein Chalko Sha'ani Dechsiv Be Es Ha'ani Imach. You see that the word Imach is connection to Leke Shechal Peah. And finally, Vaya Bechachet. You, if you delay, are going to sin, but your carbon itself is not going to be disqualified. Meaning, and the Gemara, this is tomorrow's daf, meaning that if you do delay, and you do violate the prohibition of the Torah, Baal Te'acher, so the sin's on you, carbon's still fine. Correct. In other words, the carbon won't be rejected, and the carbon you can bring, and that's the point that we're going to articulate tomorrow. Let's just do a little bit more for today. What are we talking about? So the Gemara says, are we talking about an exchange for an ola or a shlamim? What does that mean? We're not talking about tamura. Rashi says, we're not talking about tamura. It just simply means you lost your carbon ola. You replaced it with another carbon ola. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's... That is as required as the original. Why wouldn't there be an Isser of Baal Te'acher? And if we're talking about an exchange for a carbon chatas, meaning I lost my carbon chatas, I replaced it, I then found the original. What happens to the original? You know what happens to the original. It's going to die. Its destiny is it has to be left to die. So lemisa azla elamai chilufav chilufei toda. So the Gemara says we're talking about in exchange for a carbon toda. Did ni Rabbi Chia Torah shenis arva b'tmura sa? So the Gemara says we're talking about the carbon toda and the following halacha. Let's say I lost my carbon toda and I exchanged it let's do that again. Let's say I have a carbon toda and I generate a tamura from the carbon toda. Remember the tamura? Tamura is I try to take this carbon and transfer its kedusha to another carbon. So what? Hu usmura so ye kodesh. Again, this week's parsha. Yeah, this week's parsha gets a lot of play. So hu usmura so ye kodesh. They both have kedusha. Now it happens to be the halach is regarding the carbon toda that together with the carbon toda, 40 loaves of bread are brought. However, the halach, which we'll see in just a moment, 40 loaves of bread are brought with the original carbon toda, but not with the tamura. Let's say toda shenisarva b'tamura so umesa achas mehem chaverta ein la takana. So, in a very unusual scenario, it's a bizarre scenario where I have a carbon toda, I make a tamura out of the carbon toda, which I shouldn't have done to begin with. Now I have those two animals, and now they get mixed up together. And one of them dies. Okay, so bring the one that's left over. You can't. Why can't you? The Gemara goes on to explain. So the Gemara says, well, I'll just bring this animal. I don't know which one it was, the original or the exchange. So to that we can't do because Dilma Tamurhi, because I can't bring the 40 loaves of bread with it. Because there's no obligation to bring 40 loaves of bread with the tamura, and this may be the tamura. Likrava below lachem, well, maybe bring it without the bread. Well, dimotodehi, well, maybe it's the original. Bakim and the lav barsa kravahi, kralamuti alamali. So now I can't bring it. So if I can't bring it, so then what drusha are we generating? So Amr of Sheshes Olam Lamute Chulufe Olav Shlamim. Bahacha b'Ma'iskin. So the Gemara says, let's go back to our original suggestion that when we're talking about an exchange, we're talking about the exchange of the Olam and the Shlamim. And Kegon Sha'avru Olav Shnei Regalim Vehumam Vechilulu Al Acha Al Acher VeAvar Olav Regal Acher. I'm sorry, Regal Echad. So the Gemara says in the following scenario, again an unusual scenario, but let's say you had an animal, carbon Ola, carbon Shlamim. Two yontifs came and went. The animal then becomes blemished, which now allows me to transfer. I transfer the kedusha from the blemished animal to a brand new animal. The avar alav regal achas, and now this replacement animal passes over one more yontif. So now collectively, I did go through three yontifs. Since I transferred the Kedusha from the original animal who already went through two yontifs, I might have thought now that this establishes the third yontif that I passed and therefore violate Baal Te'acher. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that I do not violate the Baal Te'acher.
It gets its own cycle.
Ula Rebbe Meir, I'm sorry. Let me just finish this. I know I'm over. Ula Rebbe Meir, Damar Kevishar Valav Regel Achas Over Bebal Te'acher My Ikala Meimar. Now, what are you going to do for Rebbe Meir, who only you violate Baal Te'acher with one yantiv? Amarav Achah B'May Skin and Kigon Shuman B'Tocha Regel. It got a blemish right in the middle of yantiv. V'Chilalo V'Avar Alav Regel. And now, what do I do? I transfer the Kedusha onto another animal, and now Yontif comes and goes. Sakadat Chamin, Oho, Mikol Chamaka, Asa, Kamanda, Avar, La, Kule, Regal, Dami. I might have thought that this is now like that I view the two animals as one animal, and therefore, according to Ramir, I violate the Isra Baal Te'acher, Kamash Malan. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that I need one animal to go, according to our position, over three Yontifs, according to Ramir, over the entirety of one yantif. And that's what the Gemara means when it says v'lo chilufav. Once I make a transfer, that transferred animal has a totally new cycle. Okay, adkan. All right, well, we finished the five opinions in terms of when one violates the Isser of Baal Te'acher. The position that we adopt, Hedy, I promised you this, the position that we adopt, I did promise you this, is the position of the Tanakhama, even though our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon. But the Rambam takes the Tanakhama's position, any three yontifs, and then the rest of today's daf was a dedication to the discussion of which karbonos, and by extension, staka and leket and shikha and peya, what is subject to the prohibition of Baal Te'acher. So that we started the discussion today. We will continue, and really, the entirety of tomorrow's discussion as well, more on the topic of Baal Te'acher.